This is ReConversations. Welcome to this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate, powered by NNN Pro Group, the market leading investment sales and advisory team. In this exclusive miniseries, Crexie visited ICSC Recon live in Las Vegas from the floor of the convention center at the NNN Pro Group's booth to sit down with movers and shakers in all things commercial real estate. Our mission? Investigate trends, educate listeners, and uncover ground-level insights into the latest industry news. With ReConversations, the Crexie Podcast hopes to provide next-level access into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome and thank you for joining us on this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. I'm your host, Yiannis Papadakis, and this is ReConversations, delivering next-level insights and expertise live from the NNN Pro Group's booth here on the floor of ICSC's Recon 2023. The show is powered by the NNN Pro Group, the market's leading net lease investment sales and advisory team. And today, we are thrilled to sit down with Rod Pickney, Senior VP of Acquisitions at Broadstone, an internally managed real estate investment trust that acquires, owns, and manages primarily single-tenant commercial real estate properties that are net leased on a long-term basis to a diversified group of tenants. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Yiannis. Appreciate you having me.
So, a little bit about you before we jump in. Where are you from and how did you get your start in commercial real estate?
Sure. So I started out as an accountant out of college. I joined Stan Johnson Company, a single tenant net lease brokerage firm based in Tulsa, Oklahoma. As an accountant, transitioned over to the brokerage side of things and spent about 11 years there brokering all things single tenant net lease, retail, industrial, probably more specifically. In 2015, I left to join Broadstone, took a quick move to Rochester, New York, where the headquarters is. Spent about a year and a half there, and then moved to Dallas, Texas to set up shop for a more central location. I did acquisitions of all types at Broadstone, and then, you know, over the years was eventually promoted to lead the acquisitions team. So I've been doing that now for several years, and we've got 6 acquisitions employees spread across Phoenix, Dallas, Chicago, Atlanta, and Rochester. And so that's how I ended up here.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, your specific focus in acquisitions. What does the day-to-day look like?
Sure. You know, it's interesting now, you know, as managing the team versus being part of, you know, getting into the weeds of the deals. You know, I have to really oversee, because we are a diversified REIT, I'm, you know, overseeing the healthcare side of it, the industrial side of it, along with the retail and restaurant side of it. So, you know, every day is different. It's interesting. You know, a lot of our peers are very focused on one asset class. And so, you know, with my role, I'm spread across, you know, constantly attending conferences like ICSC and things like that for each of the different, you know, asset classes that we own. So it's an interesting day. You know, we are, you know, I'm part of our investment committee. We're constantly reviewing deals on a weekly basis that the team brings to the table. And then I also take more of a leadership and executive role with the senior leadership team as well.
So when you're deciding, okay, we want to move in this direction or that direction, let's look for these kinds of deals. You're not specifically looking for the deals yourself. You have a team doing that. You know, what really guides those decisions? Is it, you know, what's happening in the market? Is it what you're hearing from, you know, competitors, you know, people that you work with? How do you go about that strategy?
Sure. There's a lot to unpack with that question because every day is different. You know, most of the time we, you know, the team is outsourcing deals either through the brokerage market or through a brokerage network or through, you know, we've got a lot of relationships with private equity sponsors that we've formed over the years. We work with developers and other, you know, operators of single tenant properties. And so, you know, on a daily basis, that's what the team is out doing. They're sourcing those transactions. You know, and I'm there as a sounding board and to give input and insight. I also really enjoy the relationship side of the business. So I spend a lot of time, you know, meeting with all said, you know, relationships and getting to know them better, make sure, you know, we're operating in the manner they'd like for us to do that's most efficient, that, you know, helps them achieve what they're trying to do. because we are definitely relationship focused. And so that's where I spend the majority of my time. And then reviewing deals, making sure, you know, that everyone's sort of going down the right paths. I think it can, you know, vary week to week, depending on what the markets are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a solid decade of increased demand and lack of supply. And so, you know, there's been pricing pressure. And so it's made for a lot of opportunity to buy deals, but a very competitive market. Whereas now we're in this, you know, sort of transitional period where, you know, there's a lot of price discovery. Folks are trying to figure out, you know, where does everyone fit into this? And so it's definitely been a unique year so far.
Yeah.
And we're definitely trying to navigate that and decide where the opportunities are.
Did you have any mentors that kind of led you down the path that you're on now?
I did. You know, starting out, you know, Stan Johnson, you know, he has been a mentor over the years. You know, he built a great business, you know, that started in Tulsa, Oklahoma with the net lease side of things. And, you know, he really spent a lot of time in the early years investing into all the brokers at Stan Johnson Company. So I've really enjoyed, you know, watching him and learning from him and his input. You know, and then when I joined Broadstone Net Lease, our original founder, Norman Lienhouts, you know, he was a great mentor for the short time that he was around still while I was there. And just watching him and his approach to not only just his analytical mindset to deals, but, you know, how much he valued relationships and people. You know, that was definitely his priority, and he wanted to make sure that everyone on the team did the same. And so it was really, really humbling watching him and learning from him.
And then were there any lessons that you kind of learned early in your career that kind of either, you know, course corrected you, or, you know, even mistakes that you feel like, you know, kind of shaped how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, staying out too late on a Sunday night before the first day of ICSC is one of those, but
we've all been guilty of that.
But no, in all honesty, I think, you know, it's really easy, you know, both as a broker and then as an acquisition lead, you know, you can get caught into traps of, you know, over promising things that maybe can't necessarily be delivered like you'd want. And early in my career, you know, it only takes one or two of those instances to realize, like, okay, you know, it really makes the most sense. Let's all just be straightforward about what we're doing. You know, what can we achieve from a pricing perspective? What can we deliver in timing? And it only takes one or two times of a misstep with that, and you won't make those mistakes again. And so I think that's probably the first one. The other one would just be, you know, relationships are just number one. Like, yeah. And it's, you know, it takes a long time to build them, and it takes 30 seconds to end them. So I think that's one that you know, the younger folks that are getting into this, you know, space, that's key.
Yeah.
So,
shifting a little bit, I'd love to hear, based on your experience, what kind of trends you're seeing in the market today.
Sure. There's definitely a flight to quality is how I would, maybe as a kind of at a macro level, how I would say it. But with that, you know, there's not a lot of supply of quality. So there's generally still what I would consider favorable pricing for really solid assets. But after that, it becomes really sparse, and, you know, you don't find what I would consider, you know, quality assets that make sense with the risk adjusted returns that come with them. So I think there's still a lot of price discovery to determine, you know, where is all that going to land? I think that's probably the number one trend. And then that's, you know, supported by varying factors of, you know, what's the lending market look like? You know, what's our access to capital? You know, what returns should we get for our investors that make the most sense in terms of placing our capital in a creative manner and things like that? So really, price discovery is number one. Mm-hmm. And then working through, you know, what are the alternatives? You know, we've all sort of had a pretty steady pattern of acquisition behavior over the years, and now that's sort of being disrupted. And so, you know, right now we're in a time of trying to figure out where do we land with that.
How has that disruption affected the different subsectors of retail? For example, you know, big box versus mixed use retail, you know, what are you seeing?
You know, we spend most of our time in the single tenant space. So I don't, you know, I'm not really in tune with, you know, mixed use and shopping centers and things like that. I really focus on, you know, what do our, you know, freestanding single tenant retail assets look like? Mm-hmm. Really from a performance perspective, they all seem to be, you know, business as usual. You know, there's a few areas where, you know, I think there could be some disruption coming, but we haven't really seen that yet. So, you know, right now we've got, you know, at least for our tenants, you know, the majority of them have financial reporting, you know, requirements. And so we're able to stay on top of them. And we feel pretty good about at this point where those are. And so I think really, you know, what could be coming is just, you know, there could be some on some of the shorter lease terms that are out there in the retail world. I think there's probably some upside in rent that's available. I think folks are going to be watching closely to how do individual units perform, you know, on the unit level sales. And, you know, are we, you know, is that growth continuing to support the rent that they're paying? But right now it, you know, other than the cap rates moving around, the values moving around a little bit, you know, it feels like, you know, the retail sector still seems to be fairly strong.
Right. What are some opportunities that you think are emerging now with kind of the way the trends have been moving?
You know, one thing we've seen is really on the development side. You know, we haven't historically done a lot of funded build-to-suit transactions. I think that's something that, given some of the lack of access to capital, you know, uncertainty with you know, where the debt costs are for developers, we're starting to see quite a bit of opportunity there where, you know, the market has been so competitive that, you know, 10 years ago, there would be a premium on the cap rate for a deal that, you know, was being developed versus ready today and with in-place rent. And that sort of disappeared over time, just given the demand and supply issues that were out there. So, you know, we're starting to see that come back where there's a really a solid spread of where you can develop today versus, you know, where that would trade. So I think that's probably the biggest trend we're seeing is some opportunities there.
It's kind of surprising, considering the cost of construction, you know, hasn't really relented in a little while.
Right. And that's part of it. You know, construction costs are up. Obviously, construction loan costs are up. So we're trying to look for ways to come in and provide that full capital stack at a more reasonable rate for the developer and also, you know, a rate that makes sense, that's accretive to what we're trying to do.
One last question, then we'll get into our rapid fire. Okay. What are your thoughts about technology and commercial real estate and, you know, the value and accessibility of data? You know, what are the implications of AI entering the space now? You know, just love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, obviously technology has been changing a lot of industries. I think as it relates to real estate, certainly the data collection is a huge piece of it. I mean, we can make decisions better if we have more data at our fingertips. And so, you know, we definitely appreciate, you know, the collection efforts that are out there and anything we can, you know, find on our own as well. You know, there's certainly platforms that they'll never be the end all be all, but they provide a good piece of due diligence to include, you know, in our overall underwriting. I think, you know, as it relates to AI, I think there will be some areas where you can use that and it will definitely function. I think, you know, where I probably am a little hesitant is I'm not sure that, you know, AI can replace someone with 20, 30 years of real estate experience.
Right.
Because there's just so much art to doing real estate and a little bit of a gut feel that comes with that. But I think AI can probably pick up some of the pieces of that. So.
Okay. A couple of rapid fire questions for you. If you were given $50 million today and had to invest it immediately, and let's talk personally, what would be your go-to asset type and location and why?
I think I've hinted on both of these topics. I would at least explore providing either all 50 or pieces of that $50 million as developer capital.
Yeah.
I think that's where I would start. I think secondarily, if I had, you know, some shorter lease term retail assets where the real estate fundamentals make sense.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe you could get some rent upside. I think that's where I'd put it.
Highlight a transaction that you worked with the NNN Pro Group recently.
We currently right now, our dispositions team has assets on the market with them as we try to recycle some capital. They've been great to work with on, you know, whether it's restaurants or, you know, we've done some car washes with them, things like that. Right now we're selling a few of those things with them. But you know, historically we've done mostly on the restaurant side.
Yeah.
Casual diners and QSRs. You know, I think Glenn was one of the first, if not the first deal that Norm ever did at Broadstone. So wow. I mean, that's how long we've been working with those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, you know, his team obviously has rapidly expanded, which has been great for us because, you know, we're seeing more opportunities from them and things like that. So, but right now they're really working hard to sell a couple of our assets and they've done a great job.
That's awesome to hear. And then a favorite piece of technology or software that you use on your day to day?
Yeah, I'll give you two. Salesforce, number one.
Yeah.
That we just wouldn't survive without it. We've had it custom tailored to what we do, and that continues to evolve. The other piece that, again, is not the primary piece we use, but we are using Placer AI data on the retail side specifically. Not because it's the end all be all, but because it can provide an extra step of confirmation of how a site's doing. And so we're cautiously optimistic that that tool will continue to develop and we'll be able to use that.
Awesome. And then as we wrap up, any parting words you want to share with our audience?
No, I just think that, you know, real estate's a long game, right? And, you know, there's always cycles and, you know, some are fun and some are not, but there's always opportunities with cycles. And I think the key is to just look for those opportunities. And that's really, you know, at Broadstone, we're being very selective in what we do acquire right now. But if we do see an opportunity that makes sense and is accretive to our investors, that's what we'll focus on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights and expertise. I know it's a busy show, so taking the time out to sit with us really means a lot to us and the audience. So
sure.
Where can people find you online if they want to get in touch? Website, email, LinkedIn?
Yeah, so we're Broadstone Net Lease. We have, you know, our website. I'm on the website with my email address. It's rod.pickney@broadstone.com.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in to today's Reconversations, powered by NNN Pro Group. A special shout out and thanks to our friends at the NNN Pro Group for hosting us at their booth this week at ICSC. As mentioned earlier, NNN Pro Group is the market leading net lease investment sales and advisory team in the country. To learn more, you can visit their website at nnnpro.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Subscribe to the Crexie Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexie for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, we'll see you next time.